Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. This is Tuesday, 2nd of March. Hopefully, everyone is having a fantastic, fantastic day. A lot of stuff to get into in this show today. I'm looking around the landscape of sports and seeing some things. I really want to get into this quarterback swapping thing, and what they're saying about some quarterbacks versus other quarterbacks. And I'm not going to give my opinion. I'm just going to let you let it marinate in your mind. So we'll get to that. J.J. Watt, more on J.J. Watt officially becoming a member of the Arizona Cardinals. We have the one, the only Michael Caratenuto calling in. Believe in Pac-12 basketball's very own. Pac-12 ladies, or excuse me, the ASU ladies and men are about to get started in their tournament. So I definitely want his opinion. So we'll get to that for sure right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Just know we are brought to you by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler, Arizona, on Chandler and Alma School. Get down there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a member, get your access to the members lounge, a lock in the back store humidor to keep your cigars fresh. You also get a ton of TVs, couches, chairs, and many other amenities that go along with becoming a member at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. They do serve beer and wine, so make sure you get down there. Now, if you can't make it, no worries. Go to Stogie World, stogieworld.com. If you order your sticks early enough in the day, they will ship same day. Like I said, all this goes down at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Welcome everyone to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Get a couple call-ins before we get the one only Mike Caratenuto online. Call-in number is 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lack ball line. Do have a caller waiting. Thanks for your patience. The Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you today, Lou?
All right. Well, you mentioned the Pac-12, and I got word that the Pac-12 is going to, try to resume their normal conference schedule as planned. A few interesting non-conference games this year have been worked out, too.
They are, and let me just swap so everyone knows.
Yes.
I was talking about Pac-12 basketball play. Lou, I believe you're talking about the Pac-12 football schedule that got released earlier today.
I was talking about the kayaking team, but no, it's college football.
Everyone knows we're talking about football. The kayak squad at ASU is very good, though, just so I'll let you know.
Okay, that joke backfired. Okay. I was reading the schedule, and there's also some good non-conference games scheduled, too. So it looks like the Pac-12 and all the major conferences are looking like things are going to go, close to back to normal as it possibly can for September.
I believe, Lou, and I think maybe, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think the whole country is getting to the point that they want to move on and get back to quote-unquote normal.
Well, of course they do, it's not to them.
I get what you're saying. So I think everyone going forward in terms of the sporting teams are going to plan on normalcy and then take the chips where they fall. So football, the NFL is looking at a 17-game schedule. college football is releasing their schedule. You know, looking ahead.
I got one thing about the 17 football schedule. Are they going to start that the weekend of the Labor Day or the week after?
I'm not sure. But but they're trying. Look, baseball is scheduled 162 games, so everyone is moving on that pretense that we're going to get things back to some way what we're used to. And everyone is going off of that right now.
Yeah.
So, college football is going to be the same.
Well, it always is.
Yeah. Look, the SEC got their games in last year.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mess with Harden if I were you. He's on a roll now. He's got his seventh triple double of the season, and the Nets are on a roll. I mean, this team I think surprises everybody.
The Nets are balling, Lou. They look really good, really good.
It looked a little shaky last night when they had to go into overtime after that last second buzzer being a regulation. I'm like, God. I'm like, there it goes.
What I'm anxious to see, though, more than anything, is I want to see how the three superstars play. And I'm sure they'll be fine, but play over a duration. I mean, we've seen KD and Kyrie. We've seen James Harden with KD. Then now we're seeing Kyrie with James Harden. What I want to see is how they all play together and then how the bench plays off of them as one unit. That's what I'm anxious to see, because when you got two superstars, the one thing that they've done, Lou, and I'm glad you brought that up, is I'm surprised at the way they've morphed into roles. And the one thing you never have to worry about with superstars generally is that they will find their way. Kyrie slipped off the ball. James is on the ball. KD is efficient. He'll get his. But like I said, I want to see what happens when they're all back and what's going through the minds of a Joe Harris, what's going through the mind of a DeAndre Jordan, the guys that are going to see even less when all three are on the court. So just curious to see. I think it'll work. I was wrong. I have no problem admitting that. So I'm curious to see.
Yeah, of course, you know, now we're going to happen, because I'll be more concerned about when the second half of the season starts, you know, next week, because this is where you begin to separate from you know, the rest of the pack, and, you know, hoping they don't collapse, you know, because they've done well so far in the first half, so to see if they can hold on to win the second half.
Yeah, that's always the key, and like I said, also just seeing what happens. It's interesting to see how they're doing it, and it's good. I mean, I hope it works.
Yeah, I speak for Nets fans everywhere. I mean, you know, we haven't done this well since Jason Kidd had control of the team. You know, when they went back-to-back Eastern Conference titles.
You're going back.
They haven't really done much.
You're going back to the Kenyon Martin, Kerry Kittles days.
Yeah, former Villanova product.
Yeah, that was a good team. Always good enough to get there, but they just ran into the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, and there was no beating that team.
Never with the bride.
Yeah, there was just no beating that team, though. I mean, in all honesty, that 3-year stretch when they were rolling, you weren't taking them down. You know, you had a young, spry Kobe that was playing against everybody. You know, it was him against the world. You had Shaq, who was truly the most dominant player in the game. There was no answer. And even as we sit here right now, and I say to you, as good as Jason Kidd is, and we go position by position, Kerry Kittles against Kobe or whoever they had at center versus Shaq, hell, that's game right there.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, they didn't just get beat. They got whooped both times.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So
it was kind of, like a mismatch from the beginning. As much as we, you know, enjoyed to see the Nets get there, we knew that they didn't have much of a chance against the almighty Lakers.
Yeah, and you can remove the word, the phrase kind of a mismatch. It was just flat out a mismatch. There's no kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kind of. No kind of. That's like when it's 115 here in August and people say, I hear it's kind of hot there. No, it's hot. It's not kind of hot. It's 115 degrees.
Well, I think it's better to be sarcastic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I love when people say, it's a dry heat, right? It's a dry heat. Go stick your head in the oven and tell me how that felt,
okay,
if it was dry or not. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, 115 over there, if we had 115 here, it would be brutal. It would be brutal for us. We couldn't even get outside. And you can imagine what kind of it would be like. It would be like hell.
Yeah, well, don't think it's not hell here, and people aren't really doing anything outside either. It's hot. And 115 dry heat, it's hot. Like I said, just put your oven on warm and stick your hand in it. That's basically where we are. And the difference is we don't get relief back back in other places where the humidity gets high. At least you have a shot at rain. You have a shot at a cold front coming through. You have a shot to break up the monotony. We go from 115 to 102 to 115 to 102. Yeah. Yeah. We go from 115 to 102. So it's nothing.
Yeah, when do you put a freeze warning? 95?
Pretty much. Lou, it gets so hot, your body can tell the difference. Seriously, your body can tell the difference between 90 and like 100. It gets that hot.
Sure.
But I was out for
a week one time, and like, oh, it is true what they say. Oh, boy.
Yep. But listen, my friend, don't forget tomorrow we are we're on replay, back live on Thursday, and hopefully we'll catch up with you then.
All right, Paul, thanks.
All right, buddy, thank you. Great friend of the program, Lou, always good to hear from him. Listen, before we step out for a commercial and come back with the one, the only Michael Caratino, just remember on Thursday, live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. So get down there and check us out at 1 o'clock. And also, we'll be taping an episode of Courtside with PLR and Ed Cole that you can watch live, actually, on Facebook as well. So we'll get all that stuff out to you early enough, so make sure you're paying attention to your social media. When we come back, we'll have the one only Michael Caratenuto on with us right here on The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure if you ever miss any portion of the show, you're on the replay at 3 o'clock KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. You can check them out simply, not just for us, but for everyone listening every day. Like I said, replay at 3 o'clock. Download the app from your Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps. From also every day we're live at 1 o'clock as well, BTR and KSRN. All you got to do is go to thesportscave.com, hit that listen live button, it routes you right to us. Sports Cave is with the K, so make sure you're definitely checking us out. So, my Sun Devils, the ladies start their Pac-12 tournament play. The men are about to start their Pac-12 tournament play. Do they have enough to sneak into the tournament on the men's side? We'll find out. We'll find out what the expectation is for both of them. So there's only one thing to do, bring in the man that knows this stuff, believe in Pac-12, basketball's very own. And, of course, he is my best friend.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
That's right, the one, the only, Michael Carotenuto, big-timer. What's up with you, buddy? How's it going today?
Oh, man. When I hear that song, it's great. You're a funny guy. The guy that picks on me so much, I'm his best friend. So we pick on those we love.
Hey, man, just telling the truth. Just telling the truth.
Oh, man, I know. Hey, well, spring's getting closer. It's the best month of the year, the calendar month of the year, in my opinion. March is a phenomenal month, like you said. Tournament's getting started, but it's the teams have an uphill battle.
Let me ask you this, and I'll just get right to it. Do the men have enough to shake it up enough after this crazy season to find their way being the last team standing in the Pac-12 tournament? And now, not as a bum, not as a fan, not as someone who even would put the name Diablo in their handle. Realistically, do they have a chance at that?
You know, I would say if they can at least get Marcus Bagley back. I don't know if Josh Christopher, I mean, from all the updates that, Coach Hurley's been given, and I know you've seen too, but if they can get Marcus Bagley back and they play – like they have. I mean, Kamani Lawrence is just – people can say, oh, it was Washington. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters because he's balling out. I mean, he's had to be in undersized. He's had to adjust his role. As a senior, you love seeing that. So the way he's played, if you can get Marcus Bagley back and you can, stretch the bench a little bit with Bagley back, I mean, yeah, obviously if Josh Christopher comes back too, my answer is most definitely yes, they could be the last team standing, because it goes with how Remy Martin's playing, how Verge has adjusted his game, and then, of course, our defensive killer, Paul, Jalen House off the bench. So, well, yeah, will it take some work? But I don't see why, if healthy, why they can't hang with the top – two or three in the Pac-12 and be the last team standing.
So let me ask you this question. We saw N'Keal Harry not play in the bowl game when he was going to be drafted. Football-wise, coming out of ASU, we saw Brandon Ayuk do the same thing. What makes us think, when I'm looking at NBA projections and Bagley are both projected as first round picks, I guess I'm going to ask you that Wiffham question. What's in it for me? But pretending I'm them, what's in it for them to come back to play and possibly make that business decision short term instead of looking long term?
Well, my simple answer, is Zion Williamson. I mean, look what Zion did at Duke. Everybody said he's dumb for coming back. It's ridiculous. And they're thinking of the business side. And he said, no matter how long he was at Duke, and he didn't obviously say he was going for the draft then, but he wants to win a national title. And Yeah, I mean, is ASU behind the eight ball in the national title hunt? Sure. I mean, a little bit. I think chemistry and some of the teams I've seen play. But I think Bagley, I mean, they talked about him coming back, and there was a chance he was yesterday against Washington State. So, I mean, I get that side, but my answer is, you know, Zion. And football-wise, you know, and I think, and knock on wood, not that injuries can't happen, as you know, but I think obviously football with the Bulls and, you know, these kids are – I will give these athletes and these young kids credit because, I mean, they are aware. And when the media, you know, lots of media is calling certain bowl games a joke, and if you're not playing for a national title, why would you play? And with, you know, injury with football, I can get not going through those extra practices and not playing in a bowl game. I mean, like you said, N'Keal Harry, Brandon Ayuk, I mean, in the Pac-12 alone, Christian McCaffrey did the same thing. But in basketball, like I said, Zion came back from, I mean, we all saw it. Dude tore out of his own shoe like the Incredible Hulk, man. And he came back and played. I mean, in the tournament, they didn't win a national title, but either way, he came back and played. So I think Bagley would. I think if, you know, and obviously the severity of the injury makes you, answers your question too. I mean, you want to protect it more, but for Zion to come back from what he did, and I think Marcus Bagley would like to go out on a high note. I mean, to want to get to the tournament. I know it's tough, but I just think, like I said, Zion kind of set that, you know, maybe if he was at the time the exception, not the rule, but with these one and dones, and it's tough, but I mean, look, either way, and I know it's easy for us to say, man, I would play because if I'm there, but I know me, how I was when I was playing and in anything and competitive, if I had a chance to come back and play with my team, I'm 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more games, I'm definitely doing it. So, but it's a tough business decision. I'm with you, but I think Zion, like I said, kind of set the path for that.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one that only Mike Caratanudo believe in Pac-12 basketball. One quick separation I'll say between that. Zion was a freak of nature that was playing with R.J. Barrett and can't think of the kid's name that's now playing for Atlanta. And he was actually allegedly the third best when he went to Duke, but Duke had a program. And even if Zion, by that time, even if he tore his ACL, even if he tore his MCL, hurt his ankle, it would have taken something just drastic for him not to still be the number one pick. Christopher and Bagley are lower number ones. And so I have this argument a lot when it comes to football. It's you're the number one guy, and you're that guy. You're probably still going to get picked no matter what. But if Christopher or Bagley get hurt, they're out of the first round. Out of the first round means no guaranteed money. So I think that's Christopher is projected at 22. Bagley's projected at 28. They get hurt, they're not getting drafted in the first round. It's too close. I mean, it's too close. So I guess that's what
right.
I'm saying.
Well, with those projections.
And as we know, in the NBA, only first rounders are guaranteed their money, not second rounders. So I guess that's why I ask. I just know Zion was a complete different beast. It's like if I don't know, pick any surefire overall number one guy whose name is up there, they were going to get picked. No matter what, they were going to get picked. I don't see the same for Bagley.
But Zion's, but to your point, though, but I think you kind of, you definitely prove your point there, and I see it, but you almost disprove it when you say, unless it was a catastrophic injury. I mean, if Zion was going to be out for the whole year, can a franchise, just in this day and age, I'm not saying
yes.
They can't,
yes.
But can a franchise
yes.
really afford to take somebody and let him sit a year and then not even know if he's going to be back at all?
Yes. The Sixers pretty much did that with Joel Embiid because they knew what they were getting. And they still, honestly,
yeah, but, but that process was terrible, and you know it, but okay.
true, but not only, think about it now, not only did they do it, they extended him while he was injured. So there are certain guys that are going to be exceptions to the rules. And there are some guys that are not. Now, I'm not – Bobby would kill me if he heard me saying this, obviously. But if I'm those kids, because of where they are in the first round, I wouldn't necessarily give them the advice to risk it. I would tell them do what their heart leads them to do. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say, no, don't play.
Right.
I wouldn't say, yes, go play. I would say make the same business decision for yourself that the school would make for itself. If that makes – hopefully that made sense. Now, I don't want us to run out of time today because we don't have as much time as we usually have, but talk to me about the ladies. Charlie and her girls are a young team. What are our expectations?
Well, they're all playing – I mean, they're all on the court. I mean, they started with a very, very young team. As we know, only, you know, I was actually got to be at the game when they beat that team from down south came up here the other day and got lucky that they forced it to overtime because of a tripping call. And, yes, you can hear the sarcasm in my voice, my friend, a tripping call in the lane. Anyway, but, yeah, they beat them in overtime and it dropped, Arizona down two spots in the rankings. Look, the way they play, the one thing that you know about Charlie as well is if the offense is struggling, that's one thing. But if they're struggling on defense, those players aren't going to like timeouts. Those players aren't going to like practice. If they're not giving the – I shouldn't say struggle. If they're not giving the effort. If they're giving effort and other teams are scoring, Charlie will make adjustments. But, I mean, on the defensive end of the ball, they can hang. Now, they had that just absolutely crushing, terrible loss to Stanford, who, you know, was a top five team in the country at the time, and obviously has been all year, and they lost by 39. Now, look, you coach, you play, you understand. Like, there will be those games. I mean, I think they scored, 6 points in the first quarter, Paul? So, again, that happening, everybody's unfortunately had those games. But when you're a team like ASU and you're young and you're finally getting more players back and they're healthy and Charlie can, you know, deepen her rotation like she loves to do, look, Stanford's a great team. She didn't make excuses. I'm not making any excuses. It was a beatdown. It was just a terrible game. When shots don't go down and then everything that they're doing is working and you're just, you know, getting frustrated, again, Stanford they'll do that to you, which we saw. So if they do have to play Stanford again, Stanford will be favored. I know it's a real thin limb. They're not going to lose by 39. I'll just say that again. But look, Taya Hansen as a junior, she's getting more comfortable. I mean, she was brought in to shoot her offense. I mean, she is a very good 3-point shooter, but just the way that they're doing it. I mean, Jaden Simmons as a freshman, I think she got freshman of the week after the Arizona game, scored, had a great second half. So, yeah, they showed they can, with a very good ranked team in Arizona and a very tough, tough conference. Yeah, it's not, you know, exactly what where they want to be record-wise, but in the conference, I should say. But they definitely can, and I think if they were to get to the Pac-12 championship game and not even win it, I definitely think they're going in the tournament. I don't see how. Again, when you look at the conference from top to bottom, it's crazy on the women's side. I mean, like I said, Stanford 19-2, Arizona 13-4, Stanford 22-2 on the season. You know, Arizona 15-4, and they lost bad, and it's just the improvement too. Paul, is one of those things. They lost bad down in Tucson, and they came back, and the defensive effort was, the defensive effort was so much better. And it's one of those things where you look, you know, yeah, they're 6-9 in conference, 11-9 overall. But again, you get to the Pac-12 championship game, you know, I mean, you win three more games. So you'd be 14-9, even if it's 14-10, I just don't see, you know, they'd probably be a little bit of a lower seeding than they're used to. But I just, again, with this conference and with, you know, Stanford at 4, UCLA at 9, Arizona 11, Oregon at 19. I mean, come on. Like, it's every night is up and down. And I know, you know, Cal and Washington have struggled and Utah the same. But, I mean, when you get to, like, Arizona SC, Washington State's played a lot better. Colorado at 500. I mean, I don't think that Colorado would be bad, Paul, but Colorado, I mean, again, they're vastly improved. So and you have the four-ranked teams up top, like I said. So it'll be interesting. But if they get to the championship game, I don't feel that – but anything short of that, I think it would be they're definitely, like, hoping for some other teams to maybe win their conferences and blow out somebody that's, you know, there. But they have a solid shot, and they have the defense that can do it.
So let me ask you this, before we jump out of here. The Cardinals have made a huge move, and I know I just swapped to football. In about a minute or less, give me your thoughts on J.J. Watt joining the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't know how much I know Chandler Jones published his text message with Watt and the tweet, what does he want to eat, and DeAndre Hopkins, you know, I don't know how much they were both working on J.J. Watt, but, man – you get a healthy Chandler Jones back, and you get J.J. Watt, and I'm getting so sick of hearing, oh, he's 32. Like, dude, he's an athlete. These guys have nutritionists. You and I have talked about it. But to the point of J.J. Watt, look, they were talking about where you line him up, where you line Chandler Jones up, lining those two up on the same side. And, yeah, I know they could lose, you know, they might lose Haason Reddick, who definitely was getting better, I think, each year. But if they lose Haason Reddick, the person that benefits to me the most is Isaiah Simmons. I mean, I love that kid. I told you that last year. I could not believe he was sitting there when they drafted him, and I couldn't believe they actually drafted him. But he was getting better than getting each week, and I know what Vance Joseph had him at, like, one position, and the kids used to move it around. But you get a guy like J.J. Watt, and now you can flat. You have Buda Baker in the secondary. You still have Patrick Peterson, which, you know, again, if he's still playing corner, that's fine.
Stop.
I believe, huh?
Stop.
What?
Stop.
What?
Stop. You throw in an A. I was with you. I was about to give you gas.
So Peterson?
And you threw that last.
Listen to me on Peterson. No, listen to me real quick.
Oh, boy.
I think, like, remember how Woodson moved to safety when he went to the Raiders?
Okay.
Move Patrick Peterson, like, that's my point. I think you have that flexibility because, look, he still has the speed, but, look, they never found the corner to go opposite of him. You and I have talked about that real quick. But to J.J. Watt, He helps coverage, just like Chandler Jones when healthy. So even if Patrick Peterson is still at corner, which I know people have, like, again, everybody brings up good points. I'm not fully there with him because I still think he can play a corner. But if you have him and Buda Baker in that secondary, and then you have, you know, a Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt and Isaiah Simmons, look, it's exciting. And you get to crush these quarterbacks. I mean, in the West, if you're the Niners now and if you're the Seahawks, and the Rams, you got to be thinking, like, you got to be kidding me, because that's what the Rams do to people with their defensive line. And the Cardinals, Steve Kime's like, well, let's roll the dice, let's ball and see what happens. So I love the J.J. Watt signing.
30 seconds. Thoughts on the Suns?
Oh, I love it. I mean, you and I were kidding around earlier. You said a 4 or 5 seed, and I was like, playoffs is playoffs, but I thought they'd be battling for an 8 seed. But look, Chris Paul, whether he's difficult to play with or not, guess what? Guys respond to him on the court. It's worked for Devin Booker. Hopefully he can make DeAndre Ayton understand a 7-foot dude just needs to dunk the ball with power, Paul, because if I was 7 feet, I'm crushing it down on people every time. That's just me. But I love it. I love Monty Williams. Like I told you, when he got hired, I love the hire. I love everything they're doing. I mean, even off the bench, Mikal Bridges, shout out to him, a 4-year college player. Funny how his game looks really good. But, yeah, that's what I'm loving it, man. Playoffs for the Suns for the first time since, man, I don't know, before you had kids?
it was actually. Tell everyone where they could check you out, my friend. You're right. That's why I didn't even say anything.
I know. Hit me up on Twitter at Diablos00. Again, a lot of, obviously, Pac-12 stuff, leading Pac-12 basketball. ASU football schedule's out, too, so I'm really stoked about that. But, yeah, so we'll get to that next time. Spring practice starts tomorrow, by the way. So I'm really stoked.
That's right.
Pork chop, baby, go Devils. Beat that team down in Tucson all the time. Territorial Cup lives in Tempe from now on.
Yo, bro, I appreciate you coming on.
And you're my best friend. You're my best friend, too.
Hey, I appreciate coming on. the one, the only, Mike Caratudo. Yo, bro, thank you, and we'll talk soon. Probably see you at one of those spring practices.
Absolutely, man. Take care, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That's my guy there, the one, the only, Michael Caratudo. Listen, we have an abbreviated show, as I have a couple other assignments to get to today. News and notes before I get out of here. Just so you know, Devin Booker has won Player of the Month. Yeah, he's a reserve all-star. My foot. Just because it's a reserve show, don't think that I forgot what Tuesdays are. So, make sure you're following us at Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with a K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. And the website, like I said again, is thesportscave.com. And Cave is with a K. Thursday, we'll be coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you get down there while I'm there, I'll tell you what, 15% off your cigars while I'm in the house. Mention me when I'm not in the house to get 10%. At 11:30, we will be airing live courtside with PLR and Ed Cole. And before that, or excuse me, after that, we'll be taping live, as usual, the Cave Show with PLR. And Ed Cole will be on there as well. Until then, Tuesdays have not changed. They still belong to one person, the one, the only, Phyllis Hyman. As we get out of here on the Cave Show with PLR, thank you, everyone. Have a great Tuesday. Best of show tomorrow. Back live on Thursday. Until then, Ms. Phyllis, bring us home.